Welcome to Raw Talk on M88. Call in with your questions or comments. Toll free 1-866-730-4921. Or submit your question to Dear DJ at M88.org. Now, it's time for some Raw Talk on M88.
And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. Thanks for joining us tonight. Sundays in the Park underway. Nick Crespo is playing right outside our window. We're going to be doing Sundays in the Park all throughout the summer. It's a free concert where you can just hang out outside. Tonight is a beautiful night. Last night was really chilly. I went to a graduation party banquet for one of our friends, and they had it out in their backyard, and it was so cold. We're all sitting on metal folding chairs, and I was freezing, and it was just kind of odd because it's May. I didn't expect to be that cold in the middle of May. I went home and had some hot chocolate to warm up. But it's not that way tonight, and they just got started. So if you want to check out Nick Crespo and his band, they're doing some worship music outside and inside. Here at Raw Talk, we're going to do a little worship ourselves as we dive into God's Word and investigate something that came up, interestingly enough, during our DJ meeting, our weekly DJ meeting, and I'll get to that here in just a moment. But first, I want to introduce our guest tonight, Pastor Steve Williams from City Church of Albuquerque. It's like a block from our house. Is joining us tonight. He's a guy who's traveled the world, who's seen a lot, which is part of the reason why I wanted him to be here tonight, because he has seen and experienced so much. I think he's going to offer a lot to tonight's discussion. So thanks for being here, Pastor Steve.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Yo.
And also joining us, Mandy is back in studio.
Hola.
Hey, Mandy. And Mandy is going to be joining us every now and then. She won't be able to join us every Sunday night as we had hoped, but it'll be nice to have you whenever you can pop in.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Well, here's what happened, and if you guys want to dive in on this conversation, because this is, I don't know, to me this is just fascinating territory, and every now and then, for whatever reason, I get caught up with stuff and I forget about it, but last week in our DJ meeting, we've been going through the Book of Acts in our DJ meeting. You know that, Mandy.
I do.
And we've been going through it, and we came across this passage in Acts chapter 19. Where starting in verse 11, it says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. And for whatever reason, for everybody in the DJ meeting, that is a passage that just jumped out at all of us. And we started talking about that. You know, first they're like, hey, that's kind of weird. Wouldn't that be weird? You like, here, just take my handkerchief and boom, they're healed. I mean, that'd be kind of, you know, and we kind of joked about it. And then the conversation, which is always a rarity amongst the DJs at M88, got a little deeper than that. And we started thinking, how do you think that works? And do you think that still works today? And even if it does, why don't we see it more often? Or maybe we do and we just don't recognize it because we're so skeptical because of stuff we've seen on TV and scammers and whatever. And we'll see stuff like, that can't be real. They just want me to call in with my credit card number and help support their ministry. And, you know, and we just have these attitudes. And so we got into this conversation. And as I was listening to everyone talk, it just occurred to me, man, he's like, this would make a great Raw Talk to discuss. Okay, here it is in the Bible. Do we really believe that's real anymore? And so that's why I thought we'd do that tonight. And tonight, if you want to call in, I'm calling tonight's show Acts of the Spirit. You know, that's what some people refer to the Book of Acts as Acts of the Spirit. Well, are the Acts of the Spirit still going on today? Do you think that they're still real? Do you think they're still happening? Why or why don't you see them happening in your life? If you got questions, we'll be happy to tackle them as best we can. 1-866-730-4921. If you'd like to call in tonight, that's 1-866-730-4921. It's a toll-free number. You're not going to have to pay anything. Just call in with your questions or your comments as we talk about the Acts of the Spirit. Because, you know, right here, I don't know what it was, Mandy, but it was interesting to me that passage captured everyone's attention.
Well, and not only just that first part, but if you continue reading, we looked at how there were a couple of Jews who saw this happening with Paul, and they weren't believers. They were just kind of there, and they said, oh, I mean, maybe not exactly this, but they kind of looked at it and went, oh, that's cool. I'm going to try that. Yeah. And they tried to cast out a demon in somebody else, trying to use the name of God. Well, they didn't know God, and the demon in that person knew that. And very clearly it talks about, you know, him, the man who was possessed, overtaking them and them running away beaten and naked. And
yeah, I mean, those guys got whooped.
Yeah. And so to see, and I think that even more intrigued people, that not only was it, okay, cool, we see God working through Paul as a man here on earth, but we also see that God takes it very seriously when people try to use these spiritual gifts, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, in vain when they don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And God takes that very seriously, and he doesn't, I mean, you can see, he didn't really stand up for the guys and say, well, you know, they're trying to be good, I guess. No, he withdrew his hand, and they ended up, you know, getting beat up. And so it was really an interesting, you know, to hear all the guys kind of talking about it and looking at this. And like you said, is this something that's still around today? Is it something that we still see, or is it just confined to the Bible? Because I know that you have the two extremes right now where either people solely believe that, you know, well, that was only in biblical times. And then you have the other extreme that says, you know, well, the only way to know that they're, you know, baptized with the Holy Spirit is if it's, you know, these really quote unquote big spiritual gifts, be it speaking in tongues or prophesying or anything like that. And so just to see those two extremes and to try to find a middle ground with it, I guess, and trying to find out what the Bible really says about it. And like you said earlier, if it's even still something that's around, you know. So I know it was an interesting conversation for sure to see all the guys kind of mellow out for that little period of time.
Well, it captured our attention. And let me be clear, this is not a debate on dispensationalism, all right? I'm not interested in going through that particular debate. If you want to do that, take it up with your pastor some other time. That's not what we want to discuss here. All I'm curious about is the acts of the Spirit. What are they? Are they going on today? Why don't we see them? Do we see them? Do we not recognize them? And again, if you want to call in, 1-866 730-4921. And Pastor Steve, I know you've had lots of interesting experiences traveling around the world and through some of the things that you've seen. But, you know, what would you tell someone who comes across this type of passage and looks at it and says, yeah, that's kind of strange, but that stuff doesn't happen anymore? I mean, what's your reaction to our Western initial skepticism when it comes to the acts of the Spirit?
Well, I would wholeheartedly disagree with somebody that says that those things don't happen today. You know, we love to live in our rationalism and our logic and our reason, and we're schooled in that. We're trained in that. Our whole educational system is set up so that we will train people how to function in those realms. But, you know, God's not rational. He's not logical. He's spirit, you know. And Yonggi Cho in Korea says this, that the voice of God is spontaneous. It comes when you least expect it. And stepping into the realm of the miraculous, you've got to hear. Faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by saying. If you say what you don't hear, you're entering into a realm of perception. But if you actually hear the voice of God saying, I want to touch that person or heal that person, you know, then into that realm, you begin to function into the realm of faith. The miraculous never happens without faith. There's always an element of faith somewhere in the realm of the miraculous. There's either faith in somebody who's praying for somebody, or there's faith inside of somebody to receive that miracle because they have this great confidence in God. And faith is a present element. Hebrews says, now. Faith. It's right now. It's right there. It's in that moment. And so faith goes beyond logic and reason and steps into another world. I call it stepping into God's world.
Now, I'm sure some people right now are thinking, okay, the miraculous needs faith, and perhaps we're a little fuzzy on that because, you know, there's people say, I have faith. Absolutely, I have faith. I'm a Christian. I must have faith. But I don't see any of this stuff happening. And then we get into this whole debate. Do we have enough faith? Is our faith good enough? Maybe we're sinning too much for our faith to operate properly. And we have to be, you know, completely, you know, shrieved of sin before our faith is powerful enough to operate in the miraculous. You know, it gets into all this sticky territory. So the question is, how do we define the faith that we need to see the miraculous happen?
Well, you know, I mean, if you read the Bible, you know, Paul was no perfect guy. He had conflicts with people that worked with him, you know. He, you know, get out of here, Barnabas. We're done, man. So he wasn't perfect. Yet he wrote about being able to forgive and being able to let go and not hanging on to things. And so there's always, I call it a flesh-spirit war that's going on internally. And we have to learn how to allow the Holy Spirit in our lives to be the ruler and the governor in our lives, the kingdom reality. God, let your kingdom come on earth. Well, I live, this is an earthen vessel that I live in. So, God, I want your kingdom to come inside of me. And I want your rule to be inside of me. And when I have stuff going on in me that's not healthy, then I want it to get diminished so that you're still ruling in me. Because if he doesn't rule in us, he can't rule through us.
Hmm.
You know?
It's true.
And we need to know who we are. You know, that passage in the book of Acts, the demonic spirit actually said to these guys, who are you? We know who Jesus is, and we know who Paul is. So, you know, Paul had so much influence that the spiritual world knew who he was, but Paul knew who he was in Christ.
Hmm.
And we need to know who we are. Our identity has got to be in him, totally in him.
Definitely. No, yeah, that's actually, I remember I talked to somebody not too long ago who, you know, we this group of people that knew him, you know, including myself, we had seen God working through his life in that way. And, you know, he was one of those guys that completely and totally knew his identity in Christ. And yet there was such, I think so much conflict going on in people's hearts as far as this whole topic goes, as far as, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and whatnot, that there was so much doubt in regards to him. And yet, you know, you can look at Paul in the Bible and you know what? There was doubt. Unless somebody saw him like physically touch somebody and heal them, there was doubt. There's always doubt. How would you say that people can kind of get around in from a Christian's point of view? Because let's face it, you know, you say that people say, I have enough faith. Why am I not seeing all these gifts? Well, when in reality, I know for me at least, the first time I started seeing these gifts, whether it was, you know, healing or anything like that in my life, it kind of freaked me out a little bit at first. And so I know that there are a lot of people who kind of sit there and pray and say, well, you know, God, why aren't you showing me? Why aren't you revealing yourself to me in, you know, physical form? Why isn't the Holy Spirit, you know, working in me in the same ways that he's working through other people? And yet, I would say probably 9 out of 10 believers would be terrified if that actually happened to them. And I think that that ends up being the cause of all doubt. But how can we get around that? How can we get away from this idea of, you know, well, I've prayed enough and I have enough faith and God hasn't shown it to me, so therefore it must not exist?
Well, here's... You know, do I live by my experience or do I live by the Word of God?
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to interpret the Bible through my experience, I'm not being fair with the Scriptures. You know, I mean, let's get honest. These guys didn't have a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't. They didn't have a Bible. You know, but they knew God and they walked with Him and they were led by the Spirit. And so... You know, we have to get into some reality here. See, we love our knowledge. And we find our security in our knowledge. We don't find our security in God. And so, you know, we have to get honest with these things that, you know, I mean, are we called to function in the miraculous? I think Jesus very plainly said, greater works you're going to do than I'm doing. You know, I've tried to get out of that verse. I try to step out of it. I don't want to get into that verse because, you know, did he really mean what he said there?
Right.
You know? And, you know, the word greater is mega, more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more of them will keep happening. It's not just, you know, I mean, I don't think you get greater than raising the dead, but more of these things are going to keep happening. It's not going to stop. People say, are these things for today? Well, is the Holy Spirit the same today as he was in the book of Acts? Or did he change his personality? Say, oh, sorry, guys. Now you can read your Bible and you don't need this anymore. Yeah, I think our thinking is wrong.
Well, I certainly know my thinking is sometimes wrong in this. And you'll probably laugh at this, but this is one of the things that's often held me back. When I've seen someone, I'm like, ah, I should really pray for them. Way back in the back of my mind, I have this little voice that goes off. Yeah, but what if that works? Like, what if it works and you actually heal them?
Yeah.
People are going to freak out. And then, like, all kinds of people.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. All kinds of people are going to be coming. You'll have to do, like, interviews on TV. I'm like, oh, man, I don't look good on TV. You know, and, like, all these weird thoughts go through my mind. And it's not so much that I'm afraid that it won't work. I'm often more afraid that it actually will work. And I don't know how to respond to if it would actually work, if I actually followed through with it. And call me strange, but that is, it's a weird fear that's often held me back. Not, I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm so convinced that this is going to work, I don't know what to do after it succeeds. Have you ever felt like that, Pastor Steve?
I've been afraid to step into things.
Right.
And I guess I'm not afraid that it will, you know, what if it
You're not afraid work? Of success?
I'm not afraid of success. I like success.
I need to get there.
You know? I guess my answer to those things is it about us or is it about him? You know, if it's a self-consciousness, you know, that's going on, whether it's success or failure, it's still a self-consciousness. You know, Andrew Murray talked about humility, and he said this, man, humility is not thinking little of self. It's not thinking about self at all. And so there has to come this, you know. I mean, Paul said in Galatians, it's no longer me who's living. I'm a dead guy. You know, Christ is now living in me. Have you ever walked through a cemetery?
Yeah. Yes.
You call people out and jump up and down in their grave. Do they get upset?
Not that I've noticed.
Are they fearful? They're dead.
Right.
Right. Well, we're dead. And our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And so, you know, we have to live out the reality that we are dead. Yet our old man still wants to tell us he's alive. And that's why Paul said in Romans, reckon yourself, consider yourself. These are the facts. Well, don't care how you feel. The facts are, is that, you know, it's not about you. It's about him. And we all have to remind ourselves that on a daily basis.
I have to remind my kids of that on a daily basis, which is good because then, you know, you forget as a parent, you know, like your mind, it's not about you. The world doesn't center on you. And then as a parent, you slowly start to forget, oh, yeah, that applies to me,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. We're all kind of kids in some way, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we are. 1-866-730-4921 if you'd like to join in tonight and talk about Acts of the Spirit, the miraculous. Why don't you see it? Or do you see it? What is your experience been with it? Call in and share if you'd like as we talk about this with Pastor Steve from City Church of Albuquerque. 1-866-730-4921. And one of the things I've always been interested when it comes to this particular topic, Pastor Steve, is that it seems like this lack of the miraculous is a Western phenomenon, whereas if you go to underdeveloped countries, we spent some time in the Philippines when I was a kid. We spent some time in Turkey, which is a developing nation. It's not, but you know, it's not quite at the same level as the United States. And those areas, I so often heard more stories, and on a few rare occasions, actually saw some strange things take place that I have never seen here in the Western part of the world. And that's always been a curious phenomenon to me. And I've heard some of your stories. You've had some similar experiences. What do you think the difference is where here in the West, it seems so uncommon as to be non-existent, and yet elsewhere in the world, it's almost common?
Most of the world lives in poverty. Most of the world doesn't have money. Most of the world doesn't have health insurance. Most of the world doesn't live like we live. You know, and I find a very simple faith in these countries. You know, it's not polluted and it's not diluted. You know, it's a simplicity and a simple faith. And I believe God honors their simple faith. You know, here's the real world. They don't get healed, they're gonna die. So they're not running to the doctor because they don't have any money, and there might not be a doctor anywhere around them. So they run to God. They cry out to God. You hear testimony after testimony after testimony about it. And there's just a simplicity of them. You know, they just believe in the supernatural. And they're not afraid to go after it.
How much of that belief in the supernatural do you think comes from tribal superstitions, or the fact that, like when we're in the Philippines, you know, witchcraft was very, very common and an accepted fact of life. You know, they accepted the fact
right.
that a witch doctor had real power. And so for them, it wasn't so much of a stretch when a Christian would come along and say, oh, there's a greater power than this. And they didn't seem to have any trouble grasping onto that. But I've often wondered, how much does that come from the fact that they already believe in the supernatural, and we today are in the West, like, well, they're so uncivilized. Of course they're going to believe in silly superstitions.
There's no doubt that they believe in the supernatural.
Right.
I was speaking with an African leader, you know, and we had this conversation. Why does this go on in Africa and not go on in here? And he said, in Africa, we understand there's a spiritual world. We understand there are evil spirits. We understand there are demons. He said, in the United States, they're just masked very well. And people don't believe that there's actually a power behind some forces that are ruining people's lives.